Luke 11 and verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to everyone that knocketh, it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If he then be evil, he being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more? How much more? How much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?
Praise the Lord.
Feel God would have us to go one step beyond believing. Last night we were challenged that if we could believe, tonight I feel the Lord would take us to the place that makes believing the power tool for access to the kingdom. Verse 8 says, Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. I preach to you for a few moments tonight on the awesome power of importunity. The power of importunity. I dare say the majority of this multi-thousand crowd doesn't even have the foggiest idea what that word means. If I was a betting man, and I'm not, I gave that up for the Holy Ghost. But if I was a betting man, I'd cover about all the bets in this auditorium that 90% of the preachers don't know what it means. They've come to the Lord Jesus and they've asked Him a very beautiful thing. They said, teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples how to pray. And when I read that one verse, I felt indicted by God for my own stupidity. For I've spent so many years trying to learn the things of God and chasing different things. Now, this will be looking at Uncle Jeff tonight, so get a good look at him. If I had been the disciples, I would have not given that request to Jesus. If old Uncle Jeff would have been there, I would have said, teach me how to heal the sick. Teach me how to cast out devils. Come to think of it, I like that little water jazz Pete pulled off. Let me have a cruise on the top of the waves. Come to think of it, and teach me how to fish while I get my tax money. You can ask spirits all you want to. I'm coming right where you are.
Everybody in this place, if you got an ounce of honesty, you would have not asked the Master, teach me how to pray. We ain't been asking him that for years. That's why there's more books on healing and gifts and power gifts and motivational things and building churches and all kinds of neat little programs. But we got to go back to verse 1. They noticed there was something about him when he stayed in the mountain all night, that all of a sudden the next morning the lepers were cleansed and the dead were raised and the blind saw and the deaf heard. And the poor were impacted by the power of his ministry. Somehow we've missed it. Somehow, when Jesus prayed, they noticed he was extremely powerful the next day. Well, they went to check into the Ramada. He went to check into the mountaintop. And while they had a good night's sleep, he had a good night wrestling. And when they woke up, brushed their teeth, and walked out, here comes Jesus. And brother, devil said, leave us alone. And unclean spirits cried out and said, we know who you are. Never did say that to the disciples. You might as well just say amen. Amen. Because we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to do it. But these fellows give us a key of how to do it. Teach us how to pray. So then he gives them this little discourse on what we call the Lord's Supper. That's kind of a parenthesis in his teaching. He gives them a little dissertation on how to pray, our Father which art in heaven. It's in a parenthesis. After the parenthesis comes the illustration. You see, Jesus was powerful in prayer for three reasons. One, he knew his Father's will. It's hard to pray powerful praying when you're still hesitant about what the will of God is. Jesus never had a doubt what the will of his Father was. I'm here to give my life a ransom for many. I am here to set those that are bruised at liberty. I am here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I am here to set the captives free. I am here to put a face on grace. I am here to let people know that God is love in action. We still are having a hard time trying to figure out what's our purpose being here. Well, let me ask you another way. What are you doing here tonight? Well, bless God, I came here to juke and jump and get blessed. Selfish little idiot. I thought we're supposed to bless the Lord and the Lord will bless us. I thought we are supposed to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and the Lord will come down. I thought the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. When we want to move a God, we got to stop sitting there waiting for me to turn the crank. I'm nobody. I don't even know where the crank is. But I know if I can get you to praise, if I can get you to discover what God's will is in your life, we can have a move of God. Oh, praise God. You be seated just a second. The other thing I want to tell you, that Jesus was in union with his Father. The flesh was subordinate to the Spirit. And that's another problem we have. If our flesh would get subjective to the Spirit, we wouldn't have to have a manual that outweighs the Bible. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to die and go to hell. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We must bring our flesh into subjection to the will of God. You can't do it with legislation. You can't do it with rules and regulations. You can't do it. When are we going to finally go to a general conference and wake up and learn that? We cannot do it. The law is for the lawless. I have a higher law. It is the law of love. I love God. I love God. You don't have to tell me how to live. The Holy Ghost will inspire me and tell me how to live. My God. Oh, my God. Jesus knew how to pray correctly. He did not use vain repetitions, hollow words, lengthy verbiage. He went to the heart of the matter. Now listen to me carefully. I won't be long. Jesus Christ said he'd be right back. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." Aren't you glad he didn't say, "I'm going to take my time"? Well, you laugh all you want to, but it's not long to me. Then I'm a dying man. I'm preaching to dying people. I have a destiny ahead of me. I've got to affect you. I've got to move you. I've got to challenge you. I've got to shake you loose of the stupidity that's got us down. God wants to heal. God wants to save. God wants to baptize. God wants to do what we think we want Him to do. But we've got to do it God's way. Now, please let me get to my sermon. Keep interrupting me here. He starts telling a story. And he says, "Now which of you has a friend that comes in on the trailways bus at night or something? He comes in at night. And would you read for me, Brother Anthony? Where is you? Read 11. Would you? I can't preach and read at the same time. I want you to read Luke 11, if you don't mind. And verse 5, and I'll do better if he'll read. In fact, I'll do better if you'll do more than look. Luke 11, verse 5.
"And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight,
yeah,
and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves.
Yeah.
For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him."
He is teaching about prayer. And he's trying to tell them how fruitful and precious and powerful prayer is. So he's giving them a very simplistic illustration. Which of you that has a friend journeying through the town, and he shows up at your house and he says, "Hey, can I stay the night?" And you say, "Sure, come on in." You go down the cupboard and the cupboard's bare. So then you turn around and go to a friend of yours in town because the grocery stores are closed because it's 12 midnight. And you go to your pal and you say, "Hey! Get your caucus out of the bed!
Yeah.
I got trouble!"
Yeah.
Well, hear what I'm telling you. Read for me, Rev.
"And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not."
What kind of friend is that? Don't bug me. I don't care how many problems you've got. My comfort takes precedence over your need. There is a world banging on our door. They are hungry. We've got the bread. God help us not to answer. Don't bother me. I'm comfortable. I've got what I need. I don't want to be interrupted.
Finish reading for me.
"Trouble me not. The door is now shut."
Door is shut.
"And my children are with me in bed."
Yes.
"I cannot arise and give thee."
Oh,
I say unto you.
Watch this. You know what Jesus is actually saying? He's saying, "Well, you know you ain't got no kind of friend like that. You know that a friend that is really a friend, he wouldn't say something like that." Read.
"I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him."
What's this?
"Because he is his friend."
We are far beyond friendship. Why will he get his needs met? Read.
"Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth."
Just stay there. Now I'm going to get to my sermon. importunity. It is not like these bimbos that write all these books about pesky persistence. Importunity is the verb to ask. Hear what I'm going to tell you. We have got a concept that if we agitate God long enough, He'll give in. It is not human persistence over divine reluctance.
Hallelujah.
I kind of thought it'd go like this. The word translated importunity is Greek. In the negated form, the word translated only appears twice in the New Testament. Once here, once in 1 Timothy 2 and 9. In 1 Timothy 2 and 9, it is not negated. It comes up shamefacedness. It talks about women's attire. Bashfulness. Sobriety. But when something appears in the negated, there's a prefix added. If it's normal form, it's possible. If it's negated, it's I am impossible. If it's normal, kind. If it's negated, you are unkind. It means the opposite. Only once in the New Testament is it listed negated. It is a combination of these two words, anew, which means without, a dose, which is 1 Timothy 2 and 9, bashfulness. But in this form, negated, it comes out anadia, which means without bashfulness, without shame, bold.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I'm going to say something. Hope it don't hurt you. God's not in the business of answering needs. He responds to faith. There are 8,000 or 9,000 needs in this auditorium. If we don't grab this in the next 20 minutes, 8,000 or 9,000 needs are going home unmet. Because God responds to needs by faith. Faith tonight needs to go from just mental gymnastics to bold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Do you hear me? Without shame, barefacedness, boldness. Ladies and gentlemen, it's late. The hour is dark. There is a need. And Jesus Christ has given us the key to the supernatural in this one rendition of His Word. Do you want your needs met? Do you want something from the supernatural? He said, don't just say, I believe. Get bold about it. He said He doesn't answer on the grounds of friendship. He answers on the grounds of importunity. The man has got the nerve to ask. The man is bold enough to say, I've got to put protocol aside. The hour is late. The days are dark. Sin is rampant. We need the supernatural. God's people must get bold.
I don't know whether I'm reaching you, but I'm going to keep trying. This is powerful. Brother Anthony, would you back up one verse? Would you just read verse 8?
I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend,
yes,
yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth.
What's the key? The dudes asked for 3 loaves. The guy who owns the house coming out of the sack in his pajamas ain't coming with 3 loaves. He's bringing the bologna, the cheese, the ham, the dip, the potato chips, the Diet Coke. He's going to give him as many as he needs. He's asking for the minimum. But if you can get bold, he's going to give you the maximum. Come on, Pentecost. Get bold. gold tonight. Our daddy owns it. He owns it all. He's got the resources. Don't just be asking for just a little bit. If you can get his attention, he'll give you everything you need. Am I telling the truth? Am I telling the truth? We're in this place. Stand up a second. We're in this place. Just give me a blessing. Maybe God wants to give you a transformation. He don't want to just let you have a blessing. Why don't you stop asking for so little? Maybe I want a healing. Maybe God wants to give you more than a healing. Maybe he wants to give you heart surgery. Maybe he wants to give you a new attitude. Maybe God wants to give you a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why don't you get bold? Why don't you get a nadia? Why don't you get bold and get an audience with the King? Who knows what he'll give you? If you get a second, boy, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I came among you holy rollers trying to get my marriage put back together. I didn't want nothing else. I wanted my marriage put back together. But when I got an audience with the Almighty, he said, forget the marriage. I'm going to heal your mind. I'm going to heal your spirit. I'm going to forgive your sin. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to put a call on your life. I'm going to use you. My friend, we need a revelation of the power of importunity. Oh, my God. Please be seated just a second. I won't be real long. You need to understand something. And I don't mean to be rude, and I've already discussed it with my God, so your opinion don't matter. Amen. The bottom line in this auditorium tonight is simply this. Is God a liar?
No.
That's the bottom line. The Bible said God is not a man. He should repent. Why? Son of man, that he should lie and repent. Has he spoken? Will he not do it? As he promised, shall he not perform? That's the bottom line. Can God be trusted? I'm not going any further till I knock your head off with that. Is God a liar, or is God telling the truth? It's God that says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And everyone that seeks, they find. And to everyone that knocketh, it shall be opened. God, are you lying? Or are we not bold? Answer the prayer, it ought to make you bold. Has God ever forgiven a sin? It ought to make you bold. Has God ever saved a loved one? It ought to make you bold. Has God ever healed you one time? It ought to make you bold. Direction. Now I know the way. Please be seated just a second. Let's Let's have a question and answer. Ready? Can God lie? Can God fail? Has God ever failed you? Has God always been faithful to you? How come you're not bold? Son, I can be bold, but I don't feel an ounce of the Holy Ghost. See, that's the problem. We got this thermometer concept. Well, I feel God. Ain't that neat? Man, this afternoon I didn't feel God at all. He didn't leave. Somehow we think God needs to put a turnstile in our soul. He gets in and out according to our emotional earthquakes. My friend, when my Lord and Savior bought me and redeemed me and moved into this house, He said, Abel, one way I'm leaving. You're going to kick me out. I'm going to go on record tonight. Even if you sin, He doesn't leave. Come on, all you theologians. Even if you sin, He doesn't leave. He will convict us. He will prick our hearts. He will deal with our souls. That's why we've got the throne of grace. That's why we've got the blood. That's why we've got the Word of God. If we sin, we can call on Jesus and be forgiven. My God, man. Sit down a second. Let me preach over here in the cheap seats. Listen to me, kiddies. Forget them dudes. Listen to me. You cannot be unsunned. When God lets you be born again, you become a son of God. You will always be a son of God. I noticed I didn't get much from the platform then, but I'll clear it out for you. Was the prodigal his father's son in the pig hole? If you leave the farm, sweetie pie, you're still a son. The danger is, if you don't get back to the farm by the time the party starts, you're going to be disinherited. I'm going to stick with the farm, my friend. I'm going to be bold, my friend. He said I can have the power of importunity working in my life, and I can get prayers answered. Please be seated just a minute. I'm not trying to jack you up and jive you. You can do what you want, Doc. I'll be saved when I leave. I was saved when I got here. All the hell can spit its vomit out on me, and I'll be saved when I climb out of the puke. Greater is He that's in me than he that's against me. He that's against me. I've got a power. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm the only one that can break the seal. The devil can't break it. Sickness can't break it. Discouragement can't break it. Other saints can't break it. Only I can break it. You need to tell yourselves tonight, I'm the king's kid. I'm the king's kid. I got access to the palace. I can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive help in the time of need. Please be seated just a minute. Try not to mess up your mind too much. Here, I was laying in bed this afternoon. Pardon me if that's sin in Louisiana. I didn't know that. I laid down for about an hour, man. Didn't get no sleep, though. I laid down. You know, you pray prayers, and then when you get an answer, it devastates you. I laid down and said, "Now, Lord, I'm really tired. I've been going to church day and night around this place. This place is killing me." I said, "I need to have my mind clear for tonight. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm going to do." And so I laid my head down. I said, "Now, Lord, if you don't mind, I'd like you to fulfill what you said in Job. For you said in Job that when a man lieth down, then the Lord doth visit him to instruct him."
So I said, Lord, if you don't mind, instruct me while my body lays here. You just mess with my mind, though, you want to. Just let my body lay here. Man, I wasn't laying here 5 minutes, and he started instructing me. And I had to jump out of the crazy bed and run over to the thing and write a note down. And I went back in the sack, and I said, thank you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, poof. Finally, I just stayed up. And here's what the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, tell the people, if they can get an audience with the king, that they get their answer. It's not just according to their faith, because some of them don't have great faith. You don't need great faith. You just need a little bit of faith. But what you need is a whole bunch of boldness. A whole bunch of boldness. A whole bunch of importunity. And bring your little faith and your big problem to the house of the king. He said, I'll answer. And I'm telling you, if we can get the king's attention, we have access to the king's resources. I'm not saying anything to belie any of you great and fabulous people. I am in the shadow of you great men. But listen to me. I am so glad that there is room in the concepts of God for little guys who don't have it all together, who have not matured and not become what they'd like to be. And I thank God for leadership and spiritual men and women. Thank you, Jesus, and cast such a long shadow. But it's so nice to know that when all hell breaks loose in my life and heaven hides its face, that old Jeffrey Wayne can be on the back end of a lawnmower cutting the back half acre and start crying and slobbering and boohooing and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm coming to you and it's midnight in my life. And I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be. But you said because of my importunity, you will give me everything I have need of. I am coming to you on the foundation of the Calvary's blood and the resurrection of the man Jesus Christ. Now answer me! Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This cat only entered by friendship. I'm family. Hey, you cats out here with all your bumps and lumps and rheumatism and arthritis and cancer and tuberculosis and everything else you got. Let Uncle Jake tell you something. Do you know that in the four Gospels of the life of Jesus Christ, the only people Jesus ever healed, physically, mentally, or spiritually, were his enemies? Buddy, let's chew. There was nobody walking with God.
That's right.
Even the one God people in John 8:44, he said, your dad's the devil. He came to this planet the only man believing the message he had.
Amen.
The people had become alienated and separated from God because of religious ritual and hypocrisy and shallow pretense. And you know what Jesus did? Because he's so good, he healed all his enemies. Now, I'm just a little bit weary of all you great theologians who are against divine healing and the supernatural. If Jesus Christ healed his enemies in his flesh, don't you think he'll heal his kid?
Yeah.
We've got a better covenant with better promises with a better high priest. God hasn't lost his power just because he's ascended to the heavens. Lord, wait a minute. Let me try. I got about 35 of you that time. Let me try again. Do you know who the people are that Jesus Christ healed? All his enemies. Do you know who the people are that he forgave? all his enemies. Now here I am, I'm the king's kid, and I dropped the ball on the journey to the big city. God leaves the damning and the condemning to the Pentecostal critics. He don't do that. He's constantly saying, come on back, child. Come on back, son. Come on. Come on. There's room on the farm for you. You don't have to be alienated just because you made a mistake. Get a little bold, my friend. Let's read this book. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but everybody could come to repentance. I want heaven full. You're going to have to be seated for a minute because I got to finish. I want to show you something. This is powerful. My God. Bible said, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Watch this. And having a high priest over the house of God. That's me. I got my own priest because I'm the house of God. Bible says I'm the house of God. Said I'm the house of God. Come on, say, I'm the house of God. And I got my own priest. And he's a high priest. And he travels with me. I'm not cocky. I'm bold according to knowledge. Jesus Christ is my high priest. He's a high priest over the house of God. I can go to my high priest and say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I call on the claims of Calvary. Heal, save, deliver, forgive. Now I realize I'm not blockbusting it, but could you people up there tell me what you're waiting on? Is there a movie coming on later? Even in your workshop. I'm preaching something that's within the grasp of every precious soul in this house. Just give me a few more minutes here. Sit down. Sit down. Watch this. It says, having therefore boldness, enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, having a high priest over the house of God. Watch this. Let us draw near with a true heart. That disqualified a lot. In full assurance of faith. Hope you just heard what I said. Let us draw near with a true heart, honest heart, in full assurance of faith. What? And this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hear us, we have the petitions we desired of Him. Why must we always measure the miraculous by our feelings? Okay. Jesus finishes giving this little picture story and says, look here, you got this thing about the neighbor and the guy's up there in his pajamas and you need three loaves and he's up there and saying, okay, but because you're so bold, not brassy, not cocky, not arrogant, no, that's not what he says, bold, that you're willing to just wake the dude up. And he says, well, if this guy would wake me up at midnight knowing I'm in bed with my kids, the guy must need something. And he goes down, he opens the door and he says, what do you need, Charlie? Charlie says, I got this guy here and I need three loaves. And I just see him filling grocery bags full of stuff. Say, here, take what you need. Now watch this. Then Jesus stops the next parenthesis and starts in again for us and says, and I say unto you, that's commandment terminology, ask. Stop sucking the dumb little thumb. Ask.
Stop measuring God by your own spiritual ignorance. Ask! And you shall receive. Seek! And you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asks, receives. And everyone that seeks, finds. And to everyone that knocketh, it shall be. And then he says, if that didn't persuade you, he says, which of you being a father, if your kid wants this, would you give him that? If he wants an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent? And I can see every day in that audience go, well, my God, no, I wouldn't do that to my kid. My kid wants an egg, I wouldn't give him a scorpion. And if he wants a fish, I wouldn't give him a serpent. My God, what kind of people do you think we is? Listen to what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to show them a picture of how wonderful our heavenly dad is. He said, if you being evil would do that, how come you're indicting your dad? He said, if you're evil, our heavenly father's not evil. He's good and very good. Okay, I'll try to finish. You read anything.
And they came to Jericho. Is that good?
That's good.
And as they went out of Jericho and his disciples and a great number of people.
Stop! That's where we are right now. Make up your mind who you are. Are you in the multitude or are you a disciple? Jesus always got a big band following the fishes and the loaves. The Holy Ghost turned around and said there's two classes of people following him out of Jericho. A great multitude and his disciples. The multitude's always larger than the disciples because the price tag on discipleship's always higher. It don't take much to be a believer. My God, television's full of believers. Radio audiences are full of believers. But it takes an awful lot to be a disciple, my friend. It takes the surrender of a life. It takes a full life commitment to Jesus Christ. It takes water baptism in Jesus' name. It takes the gift of the Holy Ghost. It takes repenting of your sins. It takes an effort to try to be godly and holy and separate unto God. There's a lot more to this stuff than saying, I believe in Jesus. My God, man, the devil believes in Jesus, and he ain't saved. Belief, true biblical belief, leads to behavior. Sit down, please. I'm sorry to keep you so long. Read for me, Rev.
As he went out of Jericho, his disciples and a great number of people.
Yeah.
Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Thomas, sat by the highway side begging.
That's me. I was blind. I was blind. I've told you people 50 times preaching all over this nation about my life, and I'm going to tell you 51. Some of you cats been raised at Pentecost. Someone needs to slap you. You still don't appreciate the magnificence of what has happened to you. You don't know what it is to be a drunk and a liar and in darkness and trying to find God. And all you do is find fakes and fakes and fakes. And when God led me to the Pentecostal movement, it was the greatest day of my life. I can't believe you can just sit there, mundane, unmoved, like it's a brown day something. I mean the King has come and adopted you. I mean the Glorious One has come and adopted you. Jesus said, please be seated. God have mercy.
They call me crazy in this movement.
I know it.
But you know, I like being crazy. Crazy people can say what you sane guys are afraid to say. What do I got to lose? I'm crazy. But remember this, they call Jesus crazy. They call Paul crazy. I like to ask you a question. Are you crazy or converted? Now I realize that we have a lot of emotion and a little hooked a lot, fine. But I'm so concerned about the blasé junk. I preached in my own home church. Preached the greatest message you could ever preach. Calvary complemented with Acts 2:38. So help me, God, it's like a yawn field. Boy, I sure hope he tells us about Daniel's dirty toes on that image there. Oh, I wonder if he knows about the seven seals. I already know Acts 2:38. Yeah, I already know that one God stuff. I already know about grace and Calvary. My friend, if you are being moved by something that moves you more than Calvary does, you have got things out of perspective. There is no greater story, Paul Price, than Calvary. To think that God was incarnate in the man Jesus Christ. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses to them, but taking them out of the way and nailing them to the cross. To think that Jesus Christ would die in my place still moves me. Finish reading for me, Anthony. I'm going to...
And Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, yes. Sat by the high wayside begging.
Yes.
And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Importunity. Blind dude. Got more boldness than you so-called dumb talkers. Blind. Who's going by? Jesus of Nazareth! You mean the sea walker? You mean the leper cleanser? I mean, the guy that has the fish and loaves grow out of his hand. Jesus is Nazareth. He's passing by. Hey, Jesus!
Amen.
Jesus! Hey, Jesus! You don't have to be anybody but lost to say Jesus. You gotta sit down. We're gonna have to cool this now because we gotta hurry. Read for me, Doc.
Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Now, watch this, Uncle Bill.
Many charged him.
Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Their relatives are here. Many charged him
that he should hold his peace.
Wait a minute, Anthony. They're not blind. They got the gall, Brother Treadway, to tell this blind guy, hey, shut your face, boy. We're religious dudes. We don't want that screaming and hooping and hollering and emotion jazz. Thinking it's a Jesus, man, about him riding that donkey and everybody just jumping and juking around. There's always those bimbos hanging around saying, shh. We were having a special service in our church. And we had all the high rollers there. I did. Man, we had political figures there. We had the sheriff there. We had just had some highbrow dudes there. That's all. And being the highbrow that I am, my organ player and choir director gave me a little spiritual admonition. Say, Pastor, I brought the head of the real estate board of the whole city here, multi-millionaire. And I brought such and such here, and we brought the sheriff, and we've got the mayor, and we have three commissioners. And he said to me, now, Brother Arnold, now we all know you're a great preacher. And we know that you just kind of, you know, you're out there. And I'm not telling you what to preach. I said, good for you. And he said, would you just please? He said, let's just have a good service. I looked at him and I said, you know, you're right. We need a good... We've got to help these highbrows understand we are a quality act. And when I walked out of that office to the pulpit, I grabbed the pulpit and said, yeah! And three of the highbrows got the Holy Ghost that morning because we had a move of God. Because they got bold. They got bold. Listen, my friend, the rich and the poor, the dumb, the ignorant, the educated, they can't get anything better than what we've got. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the greatest thing this side of that world. You'll be seated one more time, I think. He saved the drunk. He put my marriage back together. You think I'm interested in your education? You think I care about your position and your money? Then you could get a heart attack tonight and you'd be under the dirt in 3 days. There's nobody great but Jesus Christ. Nobody's powerful but Jesus Christ. Nobody matters but Jesus Christ. And nothing is indispensable in life but Jesus Christ.